Japan is one of the world's most populous countries. Home to around 123 million people today, Japan is the world's 11th most populous country. And it's also home to the world's second most populous island, Honshu. Home to more than 83% of the Japanese population and more than 102 million people all on its own. But when you look just beneath the surface of these statistics, you'll see that Japan is one of the most unusual and interesting population patterns in the world. Because the vast majority of Japan's population all just live within a relatively small and linear line that runs across the center and east of the country's south. Nearly two-thirds of the entire Japanese population all just live within this line that encompasses most of Japan's largest metropolitan areas, including Fukuoka, Hida Kyushu, Hiroshima, Okayama, Takamatsu, Kobe, Osaka, Kyoto, Nagoya, Hamamatsu, Shizuoka, and of course the biggest of all, Tokyo. Roughly 80 million Japanese live within this long but narrow line that extends for around 1,200 kilometers, across an area that only makes up less than 10% of Japan's total land area, leaving behind the remaining 90% of the country that's significantly more sparsely populated. To help you visualize this divide better, roughly 80 million Japanese live within the line that makes up less than 10% of the country's area, while only about 43 million Japanese live within the rest of the 90% plus of the country. Nearly half of the population lives within the much, much, much smaller line. The line of Japan contains an average population density that's nearly 17 times greater than the rest of the country has, which is one of the most astonishing differences between two different regions of the same country seen anywhere in the world. Put another way, the line of Japan all throughout is even more dense than the crowded city-state of Vatican City is, while the rest of Japan has an average population density that's about the same as the U.S. state of Pennsylvania. Economically, the line also accounts for an even more astonishing 70% of the entire Japanese economy. This highly populated and economically powerful line across Japan has been referred to by many different names. Sometimes it's referred to as the Taiheo Belt, which in English means Pacific Belt, and other times as the Tokaido Corridor. I will continue referring to it from here on as the Taiheo Belt, and in many ways, it is fairly comparable in both size and scope to the Northeast Megalopolis in the United States, the most densely populated continuous urban area in North America that runs across the cities of Washington, D.C., Baltimore, Philadelphia, New York City, and Boston. Geographically, the Taiheo Belt is a bit larger. Placed side by side with Fukuoka, beginning where Washington, D.C. begins, the Taiheo Belt would extend across the entire Northeast coast well beyond Boston, with Tokyo placed roughly in central Maine. With around 80 million people living across it, the Taiheo Belt is also significantly more populated than the Northeast Megalopolis is as well, which is home to only about 53 million people by comparison. This difference in population density and scale between the two partly explains the dramatically superior rail connectivity across the Taiheo Belt that exists today. Japan's famous Shinkansen bullet train network connects the entire corridor together today and enables rapid transport from Tokyo to Fukuyama in only about 3.5 hours, roughly half the time that it takes Amtrak's Acela to cover the same distance from Boston to Washington, D.C. at about 6 hours and 40 minutes. But all of this begs a fundamental question. Why does Japan's human geography look like this in the first place? Why does so much of Japan's population all live crammed together within a relatively narrow straight line across a small part of the country? And why is the rest of the country so much more relatively empty by comparison? First of all, it helps a lot to just simply look at a topographic map that shows Japan's elevation. Japan is one of the most mountainous countries in the world, with about 73% of the country's total land area covered by them, leaving behind only about a quarter of the country left for significant human habitation in the few scattered areas of flatter land where urban development is easier and more affordable. Since time immemorial, this fact has left the people of the Japanese archipelago restricted to living within close proximity to each other along the coastal plains and across the few flatter areas within the interior, where some stepped rice fields can be placed in the hills. There are pockets of flat land found all across the country from the west to the east and from the north to the south. But you will note how the Taiheo Belt follows across what happens to be the three largest continuous areas of flat land found anywhere in the country. The Kenai Plain that encompasses the cities of Osaka, Kobe, and Kyoto, the Nobi Plain that encompasses Nagoya, and the single largest plain of all that can be found anywhere in Japan, the Kanto Plain that encompasses the megacity of Tokyo. All three of these plains also have large rivers that flow through them that make them ideal centers for agriculture and supporting large populations. The Nagoya metropolitan area, crowded within the Nobi Plain, is Japan's third largest metro area, home to more than 9.3 million people. The Osaka metropolitan area, crowded within the flat Kinai Plain, is the second largest, home to more than 19.3 million people, while the Tokyo metropolitan area, crowded within the Kanto Plain, is the largest not only in Japan, but in the entire world, with more than 41 million people living there today, more than double the population of the New York City metropolitan area in the United States. Collectively, these three plains alone are home to nearly 70 million people, most of the population that lives within the whole Taiheo Belt, and indeed more than half of the entire nationwide population. They've historically been the most major population, economic, and political centers in Japan for centuries now, that have long dominated over the rest of the country. But that's not just because they're the three largest areas of continuous flat land available for city building. The western side of the island of Honshu that faces the Sea of Japan has some areas of flat land around the coast, too. But on top of none of these areas being quite as large as the Kinai, Nobi, and Kanto plains that are over on the Pacific side, they have multiple other disadvantages that have always made them less attractive places to settle in as well. For one thing, the Pacific side of Japan, for whatever reason, was also blessed by the RNG geography gods with significantly larger, deeper, and more useful natural harbors as well. Almost miraculously, Japan is home to not one, but two of the most incredible natural harbors that can be found anywhere on the planet, that are simultaneously huge, deep, exceptionally well-sheltered, and directly connected to large, flat hinterlands that can support huge adjacent population centers, Tokyo Bay and Osaka Bay, which, of course, are also directly connected to the huge, flat Kanto and Kinai plains. Tokyo Bay in particular, large, very deep, very well-sheltered, and surrounded by the flat Kanto plain that's home to Tokyo and its 41 million people, is so comically overpowered from a commercial trade perspective that it alone handles around 350 million tons of seaborne cargo annually, which is comparable to the entire maritime trade volume of the whole of Italy combined. While not quite as exceptional as the Tokyo and Osaka bays are, the Issei Bay that connects directly to the Nobi Plain where Nagoya is concentrated is also still world-class, being huge, deep, and fairly well-sheltered, with the huge Nobi Plain directly adjacent. Obviously, these three world-class natural harbors that just so happen to directly connect to the three largest flat plains in the country made them even more obvious centers to settle in order to capitalize on their ridiculous commercial, trade, and naval potentials. But on top of these three, the Pacific side of Japan has many other excellent natural harbors as well, including the Kagoshima and Nagasaki bays on the Pacific-facing side of Kyushu, and Hiroshima Bay on Honshu. The western Sea of Japan-facing side of Honshu, by comparison, is nowhere near as jagged as the Pacific-facing side is. It is significantly smoother, and as a result, it has nowhere near as useful of natural harbors and ports as the Pacific-facing side has. The only notable harbors on the Sea of Japan side of Honshu are Meizuru Bay and the Port of Niigata. But both of them are still just a tiny fraction of the size of the massive natural harbors over on the Pacific side, like the Tokyo and Osaka bays. And neither of them are connected to as large of a flat plain in the interior that can support millions of people nearby to sustain trade. The Sea of Japan side of Honshu and the entire northern island of Hokkaido simply have nowhere near as ideal natural harbors to utilize for trade and commerce, on top of nowhere near as large of plains to build cities in, compounding other disadvantages to support huge populations even further. And to make the Pacific side of Japan even more advantageous, it also has the Seto Inland Sea, which is without a coincidence placed directly in the center of the Taiheo Belt. Because the vast majority of Japan's landmass is mountainous, the islands have an abundance of water, but the dearth of flatland also means that nearly all of the rivers running through the interior are rough and full of rapids and waterfalls that make them completely unsuitable for interior navigation and trade, something that's made even worse by the fact that most of the rivers don't even connect together either. But what Japan does have that more than makes up for the lack of navigable rivers is the Seto Inland Sea, the largely enclosed body of water that's protected from the rest of the Pacific between the main islands of Honshu, Kyushu, and Shikoku. Between these main islands, there are only four very narrow straits that connect the Seto Inland Sea with the rest of the greater Pacific, which makes its water significantly more calm than anywhere in the surrounding ocean. While the tidal currents within the four narrow straits leading into and out of the sea can be strong and complex, the rest of the sea is exceptionally navigable, and it blesses Japan's geography with one of the largest internal seas for navigation and trade that can be found anywhere in the world. To give you just a sense of the Seto Inland Sea's scale, if you placed it over the northeast coast of the United States, it would stretch from Washington, D.C. beyond New York City into southern Connecticut. There's also around 700 separate smaller islands that can be found dotted all across the Seto Inland Sea as well, several of them complete with their own incredible deep natural harbors that provided abundant safe anchorage and stopovers for ships during storms, which made the whole body of water perfect for early maritime trade during the ancient and medieval eras. The sea also provides a moderating effect on the regional climate around it to the extent that it's often referred to as Japan's Mediterranean, an area with year-round warm temperatures that supports year-round navigation and agriculture. During pre-industrial times in Japan, building roads across Japan's mountainous terrain to connect disparate flat areas together was extremely difficult. But the calm waters of the Seto Inland Sea provided a critical alternative for much easier and efficient sea-based transportation instead. Even better, at the eastern edge of the sea, the presence of Awaji Island created the even further enclosed Osaka Bay within it, directly connected to the huge flat area of the Kenai Plain in the interior. Thus, from early on within Japan's history, the Seto Inland Sea became the critical maritime trade artery that connected the Kenai Plain and the Osaka Bay and all the other areas around its shorelines with the rest of Honshu to the east, including the Nobi and Kanto plains with their own ideal harbors, and with mainland Asia and Korea further to the west. All of this huge trade volume flowing through it transformed the Seto Inland Sea into the wealthiest area of Japan for centuries, which encouraged settlement around it, and which in particular directly contributed to the massive population growth in the Kenai Plain that gave rise to Japan's early political center in Kyoto and would eventually become the mega port city of Osaka. For centuries, it was Osaka that was the economic epicenter of Japan because of all of these advantages. And by the time of the Tokugawa shogunate, all of Japan's feudal lords, known as daimyo, had established an office in the city that were known as ozakaya shiki, which were among the earliest forms of banks in Japan, which further reinforced Osaka's early importance. And by the time of the industrial age, the other cities around the Seto Inland Sea like Kobe, Okayama, Takamatsu, Fukuyama, Hiroshima, and Kita Kyushu all developed into major industrial shipping and naval centers as well, carrying over the Seto Inland Sea's importance into the modern era and further solidifying the population concentration within what would become known as the Taihyo Belt that runs directly across it. After the Tokugawa shogunate managed to largely unify Japan in the early 17th century, the shoguns decided to establish the seat of their power away from the historical imperial capital at Kyoto towards the east at Edo within the larger Kanto Plain. One of the most profound impacts on Japan's human geography and population pattern that has ever happened. The shoguns relocated their administrative center to Edo, which would later be renamed to Tokyo during the 19th century, in order to distance themselves from the emperor and Japan's traditional nobility in Kyoto so that they wouldn't be overshadowed by them. While they also saw the potential for rapid urban development in the large and expansive Kanto Plain that was still fairly underdeveloped by the time of the early 17th century. At that time, Edo was nothing but a small castle town that was probably only home to a few tens of thousands of people. But within only a century of Tokugawa shogunate rule, with Edo as their de facto capital by around 1700, its population had exploded to more than a million people, which transformed it from a small town into one of the largest cities in the world within only a couple of lifetimes. Fueling this enormous growth of people in Edo and the Kanto Plain and elsewhere along the modern Taihyo Belt during the Tokugawa era was the shogunate's centuries-long policy that was known as Sanken Kotai, which required all of Japan's feudal lords or daimyo to alternate living between their domain and Edo every other year. The hundreds of daimyo at any given time in Japan were forced by this policy to maintain a lavish residence both at their homes and in the shogun's capital at Edo. And every other year, when the daimyo moved back and forth between them, they were forced to undergo expensive and lavish processions with their full entourages. For the shogun, The policy was a deliberate strategy to force the Damios and their families into a state of surveillance in the capital. While the extreme financial burden of maintaining lavish mansions in both locations and moving back and forth between them every other year was both time and money that they couldn't spend on plotting to overthrow the shogun. Their frequent travel back and forth with their full entourages also incentivized road building and the development of inns and other facilities along the routes they took, which helped generate early economic activity along them. Over time, five primary routes were developed that the Damios took between their domains in Edo, and the most used route out of all of them follows directly along the Taihyo Belt today between Edo and the old imperial capital at Kyoto, which meant that this route became rapidly economically developed across the Tokugawa era into the 19th century and was already the most developed part of the country leading into the era of industrialization that accelerated its growth even further. Another major key to the puzzle that influences the location of Japan's population across the Taihyo Belt today are the presence of ocean currents, which dramatically influence Japan's regional climates. This is a map of the average winter sea surface temperatures that are found in the Western Pacific using satellite data. From the south, the Kuroshio Current functions in a similar manner to the Gulf Stream in the North Atlantic, carrying warm waters from the Philippines northward along the eastern shores of Japan. This current brings warm and moist air along with it, which highly contributes to the mild winters and humid summers that are experienced in Kyushu, Shikoku, and southeastern Honshu, basically immediately along the Taihyo Belt, and it's what keeps Tokyo in particular relatively warm for a city at its latitude. At the same time, an opposite oceanic current also comes down to Japan from the north that's known as the Oyashio Current, a cold, subarctic current that flows south from the Arctic Ocean through the Bering Strait that carries frigid but nutrient-rich Arctic waters along with it. Almost immediately northeast of Tokyo Bay, the cold Oyashio Current collides with the warm Kuroshio Current, creating one of, if not the, richest fishery areas on the planet that has always been easy to capture and exploit from the relative safety of nearby Tokyo Bay to help support the population across the Kanto Plain. The cold air above the Oyashio Current contributes substantially to the colder climate that can be found in the northern island of Hokkaido and along the western coast of Honshu that faces the Sea of Japan. But there's a lot of other complex climatic effects going on here that makes them even worse. A branch of the warm Kuroshio Current, known as the Tsushima Current, breaks off and flows into the Sea of Japan from the south. But during the winters, when cold and dry air originating from Siberia will blow across the Sea of Japan, the cold air masses will pick up the moisture and warmth from the relatively mild Tsushima Current and become saturated. When that saturated air then hits the mountains in western Honshu and Hokkaido, it'll rapidly cool and then dump an absolutely enormous amount of snow in the process. Like, to the point that northwestern Honshu and Hokkaido are among the snowiest locations that can be found anywhere on the planet. It also means that eastern Honshu, that faces the warmer waters of the Pacific, along with Shikoku and Kyushu, experience dramatically less snowfall than the western side of Honshu and Hokkaido suffer throughout the winter, an area of Japan that's literally referred to by the Japanese as the snow country. From a North American perspective, the climate found in Hokkaido is more similar to the area around Lake Ontario, like Toronto, Buffalo, and Rochester. The northern and western sides of Honshu are generally more comparable to coastal New England and the Mid-Atlantic, while the eastern side of Honshu, along with Shikoku and Kyushu, are much warmer and rainier and are more comparable to Georgia and South Carolina. Northwestern Honshu is so snowy because of this effect during the winter that Aomori City in the north of the island holds the distinction of being the snowiest major city in the world. Its 265,000 people experience a whopping average of 8 meters or 26 feet of snowfall every winter, nearly six times as much snowfall as Minneapolis experiences on average in the United States. Snowfall gets so deep in some parts of the snow country that some buildings are designed and built with a special entrance through their second story. All kinds of special infrastructure considerations have to be made in the snow country. Residents have to remove the piles of snow that accumulate on their roofs in order to prevent its weight from crushing and caving them in. Streets are often lined with covered sidewalks to make sure that residents can still get around in the winter. Streets are equipped with sprinklers that deploy warmer groundwater to keep them passable by melting snow. And in some towns, people even used to tunnel paths through the snow in order to get to each other's homes. All of this means the development in the Stow Country is just more expensive and time-consuming than it is elsewhere in Japan. And thus, when you put this all together, it's pretty easy to see why the area that became the Taihyo Belt is by far the most densely populated part of the country, and why it has been for a very long time now. The Taihyo Belt has the advantages of the Seto Inland Sea for a large, calm, and easily navigable body of water to facilitate trade, movement, and commerce. It encompasses by far the best natural harbors that can be found in the islands and some of the best anywhere in the entire world, like Tokyo and Osaka Bays, both of which are directly connected to large flat hinterlands in the Kenai and Kanto plains, with another world-class harbor at Ise Bay in between them, connected to another large flat hinterland in the Nobi Plain, which enabled a sort of leapfrogging ability for ships early in history to take between them and the Seto Inland Sea that established early modern Japan's commercial superhighway. It has by far the more milder climate in Japan compared to the western Sea of Japan side of Honshu that gets buried by snow during the winter. And it's also closest to what's arguably the richest fishery in the world off the coast of eastern Honshu, where the warm Kuroshio and cold Oyoshio currents clash together. One of the very few notable cons of the Taihyo Belt and the Pacific side of Japan from a geographic perspective is that it's also located across the most natural disaster-prone area of Japan as well, which experiences more damaging earthquakes and tsunamis than anywhere else in the country does due to the locations of the Japanese archipelago's subsurface fault lines and the coastline's exposure to the vast open Pacific on this side. But these natural disasters are sporadic enough that the numerous advantages of concentrating within the Taihyo Belt have repeatedly outweighed them enough across the centuries to be decisive. And that, in a nutshell, is why Japan's population exists where it does today. Now, there's a lot of data that goes into producing these kinds of videos, whether it's visually showing you the scale of the Taihyo Belt compared to the U.S. Northeast coast, detailing out how the system of ocean currents, mountains, and wind patterns contribute to northwestern Japan's enormous snowfall levels, or showing you the risk of natural disasters across Japan that are heavily concentrated within the Taihyo Belt, the ability to actually visualize raw data like this on the map instead of just reading about it in text format is exactly what makes learning about these kinds of geography-based subjects so fascinating to me. And it's why the Exploring Data Visually course is one of my favorite courses that I've ever taken with this video's sponsor, Brilliant. They start out by teaching some real bare-bones fundamentals through interactive exercise and straightforward explanations. Then, as you progress, they bring these small concepts together into the bigger process, and soon enough, you have a decent grasp of what originally seemed like a daunting subject. And the same goes for all of the other subjects they cover, too. From calculus to AI to computer science, advanced physics, geometry, and so much more. I think that Brilliant is perfect for the kind of person who genuinely loves understanding new things, as they get you up to the level where you can apply the concepts that you learn into your everyday life. And they also make learning super practical. Their courses break down into short segments of only about 15 minutes, so you can easily use their app to make steady progress in learning while you're commuting or whenever you just have some free time. So, if you're the type of person who loves learning new things, you can try out everything that Brilliant has to offer for free by clicking the button here on your screen right now, or by visiting brilliant.org/reallifelore, or by clicking the link that's down below in the description. And best of all, you'll also get 20% off of an annual premium subscription, which will give you unlimited daily access to everything that's on Brilliant. It's an incredible way to help support my channel and learn some cool new things at the same time. And as always, thank you so much for watching.